Well, if you'd like to have your Bibles open then at Daniel chapter 9, we will at points have to look quite closely at the text. Now, there's a long-standing joke in my family about how my dad, when he was preaching, would nearly always use a football illustration. Well, I'm going to start with an illustration in that tradition. Last season was a record-breaking season for Manchester City. The list of what they achieved is quite momentous. Now, I know there's quite a few United fans here. You might want to close your ears at this point. This is just some, not all of the records. They had the most points ahead of second, the most wins, the most away wins, the most goals, the best goal difference, and the most consecutive victories. What they achieved was quite momentous. But on what dates and at what times and at what point of the season they did those things, I don't know. I can't tell you. When did the season start and finish? I couldn't tell you. You could work it out. You could calculate it all. But that's not that important, is it? The time and the dates are not what matters. What grips and thrills Manchester City fans is what they achieved, didn't they? The records themselves. And it'll help us to bear that principle in mind as we come to this passage at the end of Daniel chapter 9, where we have these 70 weeks, and they're broken into different time periods. And Bible scholars have very different opinions of what these time periods mean, when they took place, and what dates and what years are associated with them. There is significant debate over this vision, and there are many different views, there are many different interpretations. And if we were to consider all those views and all the arguments for them, we would be here till breakfast time tomorrow. So we're not going to do that. But Dr. E.J. Young, some of you may have heard of him, a well-known Old Testament scholar, he wrote this about these verses. He wrote, "The precise point of termination of the period of 77s is not revealed. The emphasis, rather, is not so much upon the beginning and end of this period as it is upon the great results which the period has been set apart to accomplish." Now, you might not be familiar with these verses. Perhaps you've read these verses and thought, what is that all about? And you've moved on. Or perhaps you have a very strong view and opinion on what these verses are about. You may not agree with all that I say tonight, but what matters, what is important, and what should grip us if you're a Christian believer, is what this vision sets out will happen for God's people. And that is summarized for us in verse 26. Transgression will be finished. There will be an end of sin. Iniquity will be atoned for. Everlasting righteousness will be brought in. Vision and prophecy will all be fulfilled and the Most Holy anointed. Now that is a list for Christians to be rejoicing in, to be excited about, to be thrilled about, isn't it? And yes, we will look at some of the times and the dates, but just keep those great purposes, those glorious purposes at the front of your mind, okay? Now we're going to remind ourselves of the background to this vision. Daniel and the people of God are living in Babylon. They've been prisoners there, living in exile. God is punishing them for their disobedience, for their rebellion, for their sin. It was an unhappy time. By the rivers of Babylon, they sat down and wept. This was an unhappy time for the people of God. The city of God, Jerusalem, their city and the temple of God, they have been destroyed. It was burnt to the ground by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. And that took place nearly 70 years ago from Daniel's perspective. Daniel is now an old man. Daniel is in his 80s. He spent the majority of his life in Babylon. And most of it has been serving the Babylonian Empire. But 66 years after Daniel was taken from Jerusalem to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar, And the Medes and the Persians, they come, they invade the city of Babylon. And the Babylonian Empire gives way to the Persian Empire. And at the start of chapter 9, we are told that Darius the Mede is the king. But we're also told something significant. We're told that Daniel has been studying the prophets. Daniel has been searching the word of God. And in the book of Jeremiah, he found these words. This is from Jeremiah chapter 29. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for wholeness and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I will restore your fortunes, gather you from all the nations, and declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place, to Jerusalem, from which I sent you into exile. There it was. Daniel saw it there in the word of God, this promise from God that the exile would end after 70 years. And Daniel sees, doesn't he, that the time is drawing close for God to restore his people. When you seek me with all of your heart, there's a condition attached to this promise. If God's people return to him, he will restore the land and Jerusalem. So Daniel gives himself to seeking God. He gives himself to praying to God. And it's intense prayer, isn't it? We thought about this last time. It involved fasting, involved wearing sackcloth. He is going to seek God with all of his heart. And as I said, we thought and considered Daniel's prayer and how to pray like Daniel last time. Verse 20 summarizes the prayer for us. It was a prayer of confession, wasn't it? It was lengthy confession of sin, both Daniel's and his people Israel. And then it's also a prayer pleading for Jerusalem, for the holy hill of God. See, Daniel's great desire is to see the end of the exile and the restoration of Jerusalem. Daniel wants to see Jerusalem not just rebuilt, but restored as a place of worship. He wants to see it restored as the holy city, a place of righteousness, a place of justice. He wants the place restored where God again dwells with his people. That's what Daniel dreams for. That's what Daniel hopes for. And it's what Daniel prays for. And so in verses 20 to 27, we have the response to Daniel's prayer. Have you ever wondered, what was Daniel expecting from that prayer? What was he expecting? Well, he got the unexpected in many ways, didn't he? God sent an angel. He sent an angel. Let's just say, that is not God's normal response. This is out of the ordinary. This is, for Daniel, it's a special case. Verse 23, we are told that he is greatly loved. Some translations, he is highly esteemed. Daniel is highly esteemed in heaven. And Daniel gets this extraordinary response. Well, he's praying, isn't he? He's still praying when Gabriel came to him. And Daniel has met Gabriel before. We see that in the previous chapter. And Daniel is given this great assurance that from the moment he started to pray, God had been listening. God had been listening to Daniel, and Gabriel coming is a result of that. Gabriel is sent by God to give a word from God. And Gabriel is to help Daniel understand. Daniel is told, consider the word, understand the vision. And Gabriel tells Daniel about God's future plans, his plans for his people and his plans for Jerusalem. And that is exactly what has been on Daniel's heart and on Daniel's mind, isn't it? Daniel has been praying for all of that. Daniel has been thinking about these 70 years He's been studying in Jeremiah, 70 years in relation to God's city and God's people. Well, now in verse 24, Daniel is told that 70 sevens are decreed about your people and your city. Not just 70, but 70 sevens. Now, let's just pause there. Some translations, including the ESV, has 70 weeks. And most of you will have the ESV, says 70 weeks. The NIV has sevens. In the original Hebrew, the word is heptads. Heptads, which simply means sevens. 70 times 7 equals 490. 490 what? Days, weeks, months, years? Well, I believe that it's years. And I'll give you two reasons why I believe it's years. One, it fits with history. And two, it's based on Leviticus chapter 25 and the whole concept of the year of Jubilee. In the Old Testament, we see that the Jews recognized, as we do, a week of 7 days, but they also recognized a week of 7 years. If you want to turn to Leviticus chapter 25, it's on page 103 of the Church Bible. Leviticus 25, chapter 25 and verse 8, we read this: you shall count 7 weeks of years, 7 times 7 years, so that the time of the 7 weeks of years shall give you 49 years. So we have this week of years. I believe it's the same principle in Daniel's vision. We have 70 weeks of years. 70 times 7 years gives us 490 years. This is more important, I think. Gabriel tells Daniel 6 things that God is going to do, 6 things that Jerusalem will witness in 77's time. 1, transgression will be finished. 2, sin will be put to an end. And 3, wickedness will be atoned for. Now we can put those together, can't we? God is going to provide a blood sacrifice that will atone for the sins of God's people. This sacrifice will put an end to sin. All transgression will be removed from God's sight. God's people will have their sins removed. There will be forgiveness. There will be no more guilt, no more condemnation, no more separation, because the sin that has separated us from God has been dealt with. And so there's reconciliation. But the big picture is that the sins of God's people will be dealt with. That sin had been a great burden to Daniel. That was the great matter of his prayer. And now he is being told that the sins of God's people will be dealt with. Then there's 3 other things he's told. Fourthly, everlasting righteousness will be brought in. The people of God will then be in right standing with God, and it will last forever. Sin will be replaced by righteousness. We will be right, we will be made right in God's eyes. That righteousness is brought in by the Lord Jesus, isn't it? We're made righteous forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Fifthly, he's told both vision and prophet will be sealed. The meaning of sealed here is something is complete, it's finished. You'd write your scroll, you'd finish, you'd roll it up, and you'd stamp it with a seal. It's finished, it's complete. All of the vision and all of the prophecy of the Old Testament was preparation for the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Son of God. It all pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Daniel is being told that there is a set time when all of that will be fulfilled. There'll be a time when Jerusalem will witness the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecy about the Messiah. The 6th thing, the Most Holy will be anointed. Now again in the ESV says a most holy place. The original Hebrew doesn't specify an object. It just says the most holy. So the NIV and the AV, they simply have to anoint the most holy. That's more ambiguous, isn't it? Daniel would be thinking of the most holy place. He's thinking of the Holy of Holies. He's thinking of that place in the temple behind a curtain where God would dwell. And that is what Daniel longs to be restored. But God has something far greater in mind. We read this morning. Mike read it in the reading in Matthew 12. Jesus is addressing the Pharisees and he says to them, I tell you something greater than the temple is here. I tell you something greater than the temple is here. To what or whom was Jesus referring? He was referring to himself, wasn't he? He was referring to himself. It's being revealed to Daniel that in the future, God's holy place will not be a building, it will be a man. It will be a man who is anointed, a man who is anointed both king and priest. Access to God will not be through a building. God will not be found dwelling in a room behind a curtain. God will be found dwelling in this man. Men and women will have access to God, a relationship with God through this anointed man, through the Holy One of God, through the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. To meet with God, to talk with God, to worship God, you no longer have to come to a building, a temple in Jerusalem. You come to Jesus. Jesus is the temple of God. At the very end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, the penultimate chapter of the Bible, John says, I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. Jesus Christ is the true temple. So Daniel is given this vision and these promises that the Saviour will come, that sin will be dealt with, that everlasting righteousness will be brought in. But when will these things happen? When will these promises concerning God's people, when will they be fulfilled? Well, Daniel is given a timetable. He's given an outline of God's program. And we find that in verses 25 to 27. There's this period of 70 weeks of years, 490 years. And that is broken into three distinct periods. The first one is 7 weeks, 49 years. The second is 62 weeks, 434 years. And the third is 1 week. In verse 27, there's 1 week. When does this period of 70 weeks begin then? Well, we're told in verse 25, it begins with a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. And then, from then to the Messiah, to the coming of an anointed one, there's 7 weeks followed by 62 weeks. Now, we're having problems with the ESV tonight, I'm afraid, because in the ESV, it puts a full stop in the middle of verse 25, which separates the 7 weeks and the 62 weeks and how we understand it. I think it confuses how we should understand this. You may not know this, but in ancient Hebrew literature, there is no punctuation. There are no full stops or commas in ancient Hebrew literature. So the translators, they have to put in the punctuation. In the NIV or the AV, it reads like this. It reads, from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes, there will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens, full stop. It will be rebuilt with streets, but in times of trouble. The first two periods are consecutive, 7 weeks followed by 62 weeks. For the first period, it begins with a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, and we're told that it will be built again in a troubled time. Well, it's not so long ago that as a church we studied the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, and this is the period, isn't it, of Ezra and of Nehemiah. Both received royal approval, both received letters from the king regarding the restoration of Jerusalem. And we know from studying those books of the great opposition that they faced, of the great difficulties that they faced, this was a troubling time. The second period of 62 sevens, Gabriel has nothing to say about that period. It's a period when God is silent. It's the period between the Old and the New Testament. But then after those 62 weeks of years, the Anointed One comes, the Messiah comes. And it's during this period, it's during this final week of years, that the greatest event in the history of this world occurs. And we're told some things about it in verses 26 and 27. We're told that this Anointed One, the Messiah, we're told that the Anointed One shall be cut off, that he shall have nothing. We're told that he will make a strong covenant. And we're told that he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. The Messiah of God's people, the Christ, the Anointed One of Israel, is going to appear. But he's not going to come as a glorious king. He's not going to come there and then and restore the kingdom of Israel to all its glory. No. He comes and he will have no form of majesty, no beauty. He'll be despised. He'll be rejected. He'll be wounded for our transgressions. He'll be crushed for our iniquities. He'll be oppressed and he'll be afflicted. Isaiah writes, he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people. That voice from the cross cries, my God, why have you forsaken me? Cut off from his Father in heaven, rejected by men, he has nothing. Stripped even of his clothes, despised, alone, abandoned, he is cut off and he has nothing. This Anointed One of Daniel 9, verse 26, is our Saviour, it is the Lord Jesus, cut off at Calvary. And Daniel is given God's programme, this timetable for the coming of the Saviour and his death on the cross. What else does the vision prophesy? Verse 27, he shall make a strong covenant. We've just celebrated communion. That covenant was confirmed with the blood of Jesus. In the Last Supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks and said, drink it, all of you, for this is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus makes this covenant of blood with us. Then another thing we're told in verse 27, he shall put an end to sacrifice and offering. Jesus put an end to sacrifice when he offered himself as that final once and for all sacrifice. A single, never to be repeated sacrifice for sins. The curtain in the temple is torn in two. There is no need for an earthly temple anymore. No need for all the Old Testament rituals and sacrifices. We now come to God on the basis of that one single sacrifice made at Calvary. And what did it achieve? Atonement for our iniquities, the covering of our sin. An end then of our sin, of being made righteous, the very promises of Daniel's vision. What about the city of Jerusalem itself? Daniel longed to see it restored to its former glory, to its place in the world. When the Messiah comes, when the Anointed One comes, what is the outcome for Jerusalem? A glorious city for its new king? No, Daniel is told the Messiah will be cut off and Jerusalem will be destroyed again. In verse 26, the prince of the people, the prince who is to come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. That term prince refers to a civil ruler. And Daniel's vision then is fulfilled in AD 70 when the Roman general and his armies, they came, they destroyed Jerusalem, they slaughtered its people, they desecrated the temple and destroyed the temple. Jesus had made it plain to the Jews that their rejection of him would result in the destruction of their city and their temple. The fate of Jerusalem is sealed there and then when they reject the Lord Jesus. Daniel had been praying for the city, hadn't he? He'd been praying for the city. He'd been praying for the people of God. And God answered that prayer by giving him this vision, this prophecy of the future. Daniel saw that the present exile would end, but he sees something far greater, far into the future. He saw that Jesus Christ would come, and he saw what Christ would do, and he saw what Christ would achieve and when. We have the miracle of God's word. We have the miracle of prophecies fulfilled. We have the miracle of these details and these times exactly as predicted. I've deliberately shied away from committing to any dates. Stuart Olliott rather wisely comments, these figures cannot be worked out exactly, and all attempts to do so have failed. You'll find 100,000 websites that try to explain it all. Don't bother. We're not dealing with record keeping in the modern era, are we? We have to allow some margin for error with years.